stop. Lex and Stacy here, Threesome Podcast 59. Today, we're going to talk about this presidential race, which is out of control. Donald is in. Jeb is in. What's that other douchebag's name? Ted Cruz, he's in.
Yes, he has his own butt plugs.
Christie's expected to be in soon. The chick from Google's in.
Doctor from Detroit.
Yeah, the doctor dude from Detroit. This is the way we have to talk about people because there's like 15 of them, folks. I mean, it's crazy. And it is going to be a show. A show of shows. Maybe the biggest political circus we've seen in our lifetime, Stacy.
And see, that unfortunately is kind of yet another reason that politics are all wrong, because it's just, I don't even know. It should not be entertainment for us. And that's what this is turning into.
I've decided.
Entertainment as opposed to making a big decision on who's going to run the country.
I've decided that politics is same as it ever was. It's the people that changed. I don't know
ass
if it's
clowns.
I don't know if it's the ability of media to spread the word of fanatical Christianity or social media or whatever else we want to blame shit on. But when you see, I saw this the other day. Now, I'm not going to blame Ted Cruz for this. But he is a politician. Politicians are right. Politicians. You know, they are what they are. And he, of course, is up there saying, I'm going to fix the economy and I'm going to kill ISIS and I'm going to rebuild our infrastructure and I'm going to build a wall around Mexico so nobody can come in here, even though I have a Hispanic name. And
I'm from Canada.
Yeah. And I'm going to build a wall there so nobody can get documents on me and stuff like that. And, you know, and the people are just out there going, ah, yeah, ah, you know, just eating it up with a spoon. And I looked at it and I went, I blame you motherfuckers for letting this happen.
Yeah.
You fucking lemming, can't think for yourself, can't open up a fucking book, can't read a newspaper, can't Google something when you have a question about it, and take something from face value from some fucking toothless welder you work with. You can't fucking look into anything. I blame you, fuckface.
Here's an idea, folks. First of all, if you want to get a true read on something that's happening, even right here within the United States, news-wise, your best bet would be, yes, if you're a conservative and you live and die by Fox News, fantastic, have at it. But you know what? You really should take the time to look at an MSNBC or a Huffington Post story or something. Find something from the other side in regards to the same issue that you're reading about on Fox News. See what the other side has to say. And then even better than that, find an international news source, someone from outside of the United States, and see what their take on that issue is.
Yeah,
I think you will be astounded at how different other opinions are on the subject.
This is what our world's become. The most realistic takes come from fucking Al Jazeera and shit.
Al Jazeera, I'm going to say it, is a fantastic news source. They report the news. There's the BBC as well. You know, I'm not saying that they are completely right down the middle, but it is a good idea to go outside of the country to see what other people think about the things that are affecting us.
And, of course, this poor soul friend of mine says, you know, Al Jazeera is like a terrorist network. And I said, okay, let's just say that's true, which it's not.
Arabic news agency.
Let's just go with your thought there. It's still somebody looking at those two parties. It doesn't like either one of them. There is no siding up with either one of those if you are a terrorist. And that's somebody's take that doesn't have a stake in the game.
Yes, exactly.
I said MSNBC has a stake in the game. Fox News has a stake in the game. Do watch them both and still go to factcheck.org to see who got it closer.
If I want to be, and I'll admit, I'm right there. There are times I want to be spoon-fed my news. I want to be told exactly what I want to hear. I understand that. And that's what I have The Daily Show for. You know, there. But if you are really serious about wanting to figure out something, you know, whatever the issue is, read multiple news sources and make sure that they're from different places and different sides of the road and everything. And then that's when you then make your decision and you can feel that you made your decision in an educated, intelligent manner.
Yes. That's exactly right.
And I will totally respect if some very, very right wing, you know, Republican conservative came up to me and explained all this and then told me that they had, you know, in fact, gone to the dreaded Al Jazeera and the BBC and to MSNBC and Fox News and everything else. And here's why they feel this way. I would say, I respect you. I don't agree with you, but I respect you because you made the effort to figure something else out on your own.
Yeah, listen, I have lots of friends that are Republicans and staunch conservatives. I have no problem with that. Most of these people are pretty smart people, and they kind of know the lay of the land of who's a douchebag in their own party, like you're supposed to. Not everybody in your party's great.
No.
And know the downsides of each candidate and all that stuff. As long as they know that, you know, I'm gonna be able to be friends with these people. I can't be friends with somebody that is regurgitating something from somebody who is
from Fox News,
who is agenda based.
Yes. And I'm sorry, if you actually stepped outside and looked at a couple other news sources just besides Fox News, I think you would quickly realize how agenda-based Fox News is. And yes, MSNBC, extremely agenda-based as well. You know, I don't deny that. But that's why you have to look elsewhere to get the same story in a different way.
It's like the guy that called the show this morning. He says, Donald Trump will fix the economy. And I said, you have a computer in front of you?
Yeah.
Look up the stock market and tell me when it's ever been higher than what it is right now.
Well, the stock market isn't indicative of the economy.
I said, it's not? I said, of course it is. It most certainly is. Go look at unemployment. It's down. These are all...
Yes, but how many people just have given up looking for jobs and they don't show up in unemployment numbers anymore?
I don't know. If they're not looking for jobs, they're fucking idiots.
Just saying.
You should never stop looking for... I mean, Stacey, I go around Dallas and see so many places with help wanted signs out front. So many.
Oh, I understand. I'm not defending that. I'm just saying I think that there is a certain percentage of people who got so tired and beat down from looking for a job that they have just, you know, decided, okay, I'm gonna crochet and sell stuff on Etsy. You know what I mean? I think that people have found other ways to do things without getting that job and having unemployment and thus don't show up in the numbers anymore.
Yeah, how big of a number do you think that is?
I don't know.
And
I
why
really don't.
And who's to say that hasn't always gone on in the economy, Stacey?
Oh, I agree. There are always people who won't be counted in those numbers. I do believe, though, that the numbers are higher right now than they have been, say, 10, 20 years ago.
He can only work with what he was given.
Right.
And it's down. Stock market up, unemployment down. Sorry, there's nothing to fix. Improve, yes. Nothing needs fixed. It's fixed. And while you went ahead and, you know, blow shit up his ass for bailing out the big auto companies, it was a brilliant move. And the country is paid back.
Yes.
Maybe the game-changing, saving move of probably the last 50 years. Because let's remember, kids, while you want to blow shit on this guy and you go say, thanks, Obama, and all this shit. Let's
Come on, that's one of your favorite catchphrases.
It is funny, yeah. But let's remember, this guy got brought in 3 months early than he was supposed to because he had to be showed the lay of the land. It was so fucked up. That's never happened before. It's an embarrassment. Yeah, I know your inauguration's on the 20th of January. Can you start a couple months early?
You had a lot of homework.
We're gonna lose a lot of ground if you don't like get in on this. You probably want to appoint the people to these positions that are already there. That's how fucked up it is.
Yes.
So I don't want to fucking hear it. I don't want to hear about Donald fixing the economy.
But see, if he talks like that, then there is that person out there who maybe, you know, has the shittier job that they didn't have. They had a better job 10 years ago. Whatever happened, and now they're much shittier. They lost their home, and they live in a grungy little apartment somewhere with, you know, a dog, and that's it, because they lost their family, too. They are going to listen, and they're going to say, yes, the economy does suck because my situation is worse than it was.
Yeah. You just described me, and I don't blame the economy at all for it. Not one fucking bit.
I thought about that as I was halfway into that. I was like, that isn't where I was going with that.
Not one fucking
bit. But you still have your job and stuff. I'm talking about someone who, you know, maybe had like that high upper management position for some corporation, and they all downsized, and he lost his job, and everything just went to shit after that. And now he's working as a furniture salesman.
How many years ago did that happen, did you say?
I don't know, 10 years ago.
Yeah, who was in office 10 years ago?
A W.
That's right. So it's Obama's problem how?
Well, because he inherited all the problems. And, you know, after almost 8 years now, we can't blame Obama anymore. We can't blame Bush anymore. That was the whole thing.
Why can't we?
Well, I agree with that, but that's what you will be lectured on, you know. There's a point where
we have good luck if anybody lectures me on that. All I know is in 2000, Newt Gingrich and Bill Clinton, bitter political enemies,
and handed over
a balanced budget.
Yes.
To George Bush. A Republican and a Democrat worked together to balance our budget and said, here you go, George. Then he...
And George went, I paint pictures.
And he takes us to double digit in the trillions in deficit. And as soon as he leaves office, I was like, look at Obama. We had a balanced budget in 2000. Now look what he's done.
Let's not forget with the whole, if you can remember back to when Obama took office and he immediately, because the economy was in such shitty state, that all of the stimulus packages, I mean, it's been long enough now, that's not like on the forefront. There were all those stimulus packages, but George W. actually signed the first one. I think it was like, what, $20 billion or something. He signed it almost literally as he was walking out of the White House.
Yes.
So that was all started by a Republican.
Early. Yeah. Yeah. The fact of the matter is anything good that's happened in this country economically was a bipartisan effort.
Yes.
And the move to seed the automakers and the banks in the turn of those administrations was pretty much a bipartisan effort that that the Republicans brilliantly tried to turn around and put blame on Obama for, and then when it worked, they fucked themselves.
I know. How terrible is that? That they were desperately hoping for this part of America to fail terribly so that they could be right.
They still are. They still like that.
I know.
It's awful.
And plus, too, what they, you know, let's not forget, at the same time that the automakers were being bailed out, so it wasn't just the three car companies. Wall Street got bailed out big time, and they weren't expected to, like, ride a bus to the hearings and stuff, like what they did to the guys from the car.
Yeah.
Makers, like, you know, remember that guy. They were going to fly in.
Yeah.
They all had to like drive there where
or
everyone
fly
else
commercially.
Got to fly. Yes. I think they had to drive. I think they had to take buses or something because they got such shit that they were being bailed out. And how dare they?
No, they ended up telling them to fly commercially. They just couldn't.
Okay.
Take, yeah.
But you didn't hear that about any of the, you know, Wall Street guys.
No. No, they all got their big payoffs and life was good.
Yeah, they got all those big fat bonuses. I remember it seemed like that went on for a couple years. Was like, oh, such and such bank who received, you know, however many billions of dollars in taxpayer money. You know, the head guy just got his $14 million Christmas bonus.
Yeah. Don't forget about Bernie Madoff, too. That was going on during that whole thing.
Yep. How many of his kids have died? Isn't there been more than one since then? I thought one committed suicide or something.
You know, I don't
even
know.
And then another one just died.
I don't even know. But you're probably right.
I know at least one committed suicide, I'm pretty sure. Being implicated in Daddy's scheme.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. I absolutely think it's the worst time for our country that I can think of. I think it trumps Watergate. I think it trumps all of it. The key word being Trump.
I know. I was letting you have that one. You did very well.
And this guy didn't give a fuck about being president. He gives a fuck about being noticed, and he's going to be. And you know what? He's got enough pizzazz to handle himself in debates, most likely. He knows how to step on people and knows how to argue. He's going to be.
See, I think he would be all agenda driven. He'll go in with an idea of what he wants to do because the ego has already been plumped up because he won the presidency, you know, that he's going to go in and he will just bulldoze over everyone to get all of his shit taken care of. And it's not going to help or make better the lives of most American citizens.
Right. His Wall Street buddies will be happy.
Yep.
Probably. But
the rich will get richer and everyone else will just be, you know, made fun of because they don't want to work at McDonald's anymore.
It's one thing to get into a entanglement with Rosie O'Donnell or somebody on The Apprentice or something like that. It's another thing to be sitting across from Jeb Bush, you know, who's just a savvy shark that is going to.
I was
going
to say, I actually liked him when he was governor of Florida.
Yeah, until that assisting with the making sure his brother got elected thing. I wasn't real happy
well, I
about
wasn't
that.
There anymore for that.
Yeah, that was bad. The fact he involved himself in that at all changed my whole opinion of him. But you know what? At the end of the day, he got it done for his brother.
Yes.
Now, ironically,
somehow
he
made
went,
it legal.
Now, ironically, he wants to get elected and go clean his mess up. How funny. So
I just don't know why he couldn't have run first, why it had to be W.
There was a good reason for it. There was a damn good reason for it. There was some sort of political snafu going on with him where he couldn't. His wife tried to bring that jewelry in at customs, and there was something else. There was a couple of things that they just didn't feel the time was right with him.
Can you imagine if it had been him?
But he is the better of the two brothers.
Yes. Absolutely.
And if you watch the movie, W, they allude to a couple times in there, well, you know, why couldn't it have been your brother and stuff like that?
Can you imagine? You have made it. You were president of the United States for 2 terms.
If that,
and there's still someone reminding you that your brother is better than you.
If that movie is true, George Bush is a guy who did not stand up for himself and let himself got run over by Dick Cheney and his father and, you know, Rumsfeld and whoever else, you know, needed to bulldog him, was able to do so.
I agree. I believe he was totally like a figurehead.
Yeah.
Everything else was happening behind the scenes.
And maybe that's why he was the one who was chosen, because Jeb told his father, yeah, I'm not putting all your fucking people in there if I run. I'm not doing that.
And I'm a big boy. I can make my own decisions.
And his dad probably said to him, well, then fuck you. I'm not backing you. That's what I think. I actually
think that you might be onto something. I tend to agree.
You know, because Jeb is his own guy. You know, right or wrong, whether you agree with him or not, he's more of an individual than George is. George, to be president, was willing to play along.
Yes.
And finish his father's agenda, which he didn't get a second term to do because he lost to Bill Clinton.
Yes.
And that's just the way it went down. That's the way it is. So now he has his chance, 16 years later. And he has to put up with his brother and his father's legacy. It's going to be interesting to see whether he metastasizes himself to it or distances himself from it.
Walter Blanco.
It's going to be interesting.
Yes.
If he distances himself, then we know what happened.
You would have to, though. I mean, look at you and I, with no political experience at all. If I was Jeb Bush right now, I would pretend I've never heard of my father or my brother. They don't exist. George who? Huh?
I would say publicly, my dad wanted to back me and have me run back then, and there was too many cooks in the kitchen. Didn't want to do it. I want to be president. Me. If he said that, I'd be like, boy, did your stock just go up? Because everybody knows it. If you're really honest about it, you look at those two guys, it's very easy to see the more competent one.
Yes. And again, George W. was president for 8 years.
And you can't.
He's still the shitty brother.
Yeah. And you can't tell me that the head of the fucking CIA, your father, can't tell the difference between who's the better fucking kid. I'm sorry.
Well, George, he means well.
I mean, Stacey, you need to rent that movie sometime. You know, yeah, yes, it's an Oliver Stone movie and it's his take on things. But he does his research. He has his conversations. He gets deep enough into things where you get the idea.
Right.
As distorted as some of it probably is.
Do you think he'll ever do a movie about Sarah Palin?
Oh, you...
I
you,
would I would go to the theater to see that movie.
You haven't seen Game Change?
No. Oliver Stone do that?
You're fucking kidding me.
No.
Oh, you must.
You've told me that. I know.
There isn't going to be a better Sarah Palin bashing movie than that one. First off, Woody Harrelson playing Steve Schmidt, McCain's campaign advisor. He was fucking brilliant. That last scene where she thinks she's going to go out and do an acceptance speech concession speech. And he comes in the room. He goes, "What are you doing?" She goes, "I'm putting together my concession speech." He goes, "Never in the history of the United States has the VP candidate done a fucking concession speech." So shut the fuck up and sit down and let this fine man go out and concede as the presidential candidate. It's like the last scene of the movie. And he looks at her with that Woody face, you know, that intense Woody Carl, and you know, like you fucking bitch,
Woody Carlson,
yeah, Woody Carlson, yeah, Woody Harrelson,
that wasn't it? Oh, Woody,
yeah. And there you go. Hey, Woody. So, you must see it. I'm sure it's on Netflix or one of those, or Hulu, okay, or one of those things. It is, in my opinion, as good as it's going to get on a Sarah Palin movie. Let me see if it's on Netflix. I'm going to check right now while we talk.
White Trash. And then Bristol, did you see last week where she got all pissy with Miley Cyrus and stood up for people who love Jesus?
No.
Oh, apparently Miley Cyrus, I don't even know, did some interview and kind of went off about the fact that her parents are Christian conservatives and she just thinks it's a bunch of bullshit and is not a big fan of the Jesus religion. And I guess Bristol Palin, she was very courageous, Lex. She penned a response to Miley talking about how, you know, just awful Hollywood people are because they don't love Jesus. And she was courageous because she could write or type.
Yeah, what does that have to fucking do with anything?
Well, apparently from all of the conservatives talking about it on Facebook, she was courageous.
Wow, we should have brought that up in our last podcast. Since we were getting all courageous-y. Yes. Tell me, Stacey, who's more courageous? The little cancer patient or Bristol Palin?
Bristol Palin, more courageous than a kid with cancer. Just ask Sarah.
Yeah, you have to see this movie. Oh my God. It is it's not going to get any better. I'm sorry. I'm trying to see if it's on there. There we go. There we go. Yeah. I'm in. Okay. Where's the search thing on this? There we go. This is going to be
so. Hey, in Arkansas,
yeah,
Arkansas cops are seeking the public's assistance in identifying a pantsless man who was spotted this week masturbating next to a truck outside a convenience store that was conveniently named "Come and Go."
Ha! Yeah,
this isn't an onion story. This is true. It really happened. Come,
no kidding,
spelled K-U-M.
Oh, how nice.
Yes. Apparently he took it to heart.
So W is on Netflix. Game okay. Change is only on Netflix DVD.
Damn it. I hate it when they do that.
Mm-hmm. But what other services do you have besides Amazon. Netflix? What's that?
Amazon?
Let's see if it's on there. So, you probably shouldn't whack off at a place called that.
The come and go.
Probably not a good idea.
A pantsless white man. So, someone started to take a picture of it, and when he realized that he was being watched, then he took off.
A pantsless white man.
Because I don't know, and I guess I could be wrong, but I was always under the impression that when someone jerked off in public, it was primarily in the hopes that they would be caught because they wanted to be seen and or caught. Yes?
Yeah, I would say so.
So I don't know why he took off once he realized someone was photographing him outside the come and go.
I don't know. Okay, let's see. Yeah, it's Prime Instant Video. You can watch now. Game Change.
All right.
I guarantee you, you will be thoroughly entertained. Julianne Moore is brilliant.
You know, she is one of those actresses that I like as she gets older.
Yeah.
She's done some fantastic things, but you never really pay attention to her. You know what I mean?
Yeah. She kind of reminds me of you a little bit.
The red hair?
I guess. I don't know. She has a certain authenticity about her. I just remember you having blonde hair.
I do. I am very much a natural blonde.
Okay.
That's why I mentioned the red hair, because it didn't really happen. Thanks for remembering me, Lex. It's been how long?
What do you mean it didn't happen? What are you talking about?
Because I don't have red hair. So, see, I was being facetious when I said.
Oh, I see.
Is it the red hair that made you think of her and me together?
No, last time I saw a picture, your hair was kind of reddish.
Really?
Yeah.
It must have been the Instagram filter.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, it just looked kind of reddish. I'm like, God, she changed her hair color. What the hell?
Nope, I am very blonde still.
Oh, okay. Good for you.
Yep. Well, thank you.
You're one of the smartest blondes I know.
Like, oh my God, thank you.
Uh-huh. My pleasure. So I was listening back to Threesome Podcast 57.
Okay.
And I thoroughly enjoyed our sports conversation.
Really?
Yes.
You're mocking me.
I did. I was like, look at Stacey hanging on a sports conversation.
I can do it. I just choose not to.
Yeah. I was like, this is what sports radio should sound like. The amount of cum on Kate Upton's face.
Just barely paying attention.
Yeah.
Yes.
How many liters do you think that was? That was amazing.
Do you think he juiced for that?
Yeah. How long do you think it was between fuckings so that he could let that much go?
That will be. If I ever have an opportunity to meet Justin Verlander, I am going to be... literally my mouth will be bleeding as I'm biting my tongue to not ask him about that.
Yeah.
Boy, you come a lot, don't you? Oh my God. You
know? Yeah.
Nice to meet you. God, you come a lot.
You're one of the best pitchers in the game. Nobody brings it like you. And I haven't even gotten to your profession yet. Your fucking spitball is ridiculous.
94 miles an hour.
Yeah. You make Gaylord Perry look like he didn't put anything on the baseball. That was a. I don't think a circle jerk of dudes could make that much cum. I mean,
it was.
I mean, she looked
impressive.
Like, she looked like, you know, I was waiting for, you know, Ripley to walk by, you know, and.
You see the Guinness people in the background with their, you know, Pampered Chef 2-cup pitchers that are measuring
I'm talking about Ripley on Alien, you know, and when they're in the. In the gel up on the wall.
Gotcha.
That's how soaked she was. Waiting for a set of dentures to come out.
You couldn't blame him for taking that picture.
God, no.
Look at this.
Excuse me. You're the world's most famous supermodel, and I have to take this shot.
Again and again.
And how she didn't say, no, fucker. You hadn't... I don't care if you're Justin Verlander. You're not shooting me all juiced up like this. The fuck, dude?
Oh, come on. The other pictures, though, were them taking selfies in, like, the mirror in the bathroom. And she has those red handprints on her ass.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's been spanking that ass.
Oh, God. She has a weird figure. I watched her in this movie. And her waist is right below her breast.
Now, could it be because her bosoms are so sizable that her waist is actually normal?
No,
but her boobs.
No,
just
no,
kind
no,
of-
no. You even when you look at her from behind, her you know, like the hourglass figure on a girl usually starts right at the, it starts going in right before the belly button and then starts going up. Hers goes in probably about 5 inches past the belly button before it starts going back towards the shoulders. It's fucking weird. Yeah. You see if you can look her up online and look at it. It's the weirdest body I've ever seen. Very strange.
And she still is a supermodel. She's done Carl's Jr. commercial, which actually I thought was one of the hotter ones. And she got to have copious amounts of Justin Verlander's sperm spooged all over her.
No question about it. I mean, come on. It's Justin Verlander.
And that Terry Richardson cat dance thing, too. That was well worth the 30 seconds.
But let me see if I can find a picture of her. I mean, she's sexy as shit. She really is. I mean, what is she? All of 20?
If you have not seen the... Yeah, I think she's, what, 24? 28 maybe?
Oh, she's older than that? Okay. Oh,
I don't know. I was just guessing. If you, the listener, have never seen Kate Upton's Carl Jr. commercial, just look it up on YouTube. It's really hot.
Yeah, here we go. There's a picture of her walking her way, dragging a chair, and she's in a dress, and you can see how high up her waist goes. It's weird as hell looking. I mean, it's almost bothersome how high up it goes.
So you don't think you'd be able to fuck her?
I'd fuck the shit out of her. No, I can please. No, I'd be all over that.
Good man.
Yeah. But I would tell her.
Could you put this wide belt around you?
I would tell her. It's like, man, you got the weirdest fucking body. I mean, don't get me wrong. Your tits are amazing and your face is beautiful. But, you know, you got some imperfections.
Because that's what women want to hear just before or just after sex.
She'd want to please me after hearing that.
You are correct.
Yeah.
That's usually what happens. You've knocked a chick down a few notches, she wants to take your penis in her mouth.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, because daddy didn't
that,
let her.
You know what
daddy
the other truth?
Daddy didn't let her watch soccer with him.
You know what?
I've told you my theories on all this. I've told you about all these theories about daddy not watching football with you.
My dad did watch football with me.
Yeah, see? That's why you're not fucked up.
Did you know that when women are alone together, we actually do, in fact, have pillow fights and tickle each other a lot?
I know.
Did you know that?
I did.
It's true. We can't help ourselves. As soon as the man leaves the room, our blouses pop open and the feathers just start flying.
I know. You don't think I don't know this?
I think you think that it is a mythical idea, but I don't think, you know, it's ever been confirmed until just now. But it's true. Tickle fun, pillow fights.
I have a daughter, you forget.
And it has to be done in our...
You know, I have a daughter. I've had to go in and go, clean these fucking feathers up now.
And put some clothes on.
Yeah. And tell your friends to take their bathing suits off and go home.
Can
yes.
you keep the squealing and giggling down? I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah. Yes, they need to put clothes back on once they take the bathing suits off. Yes. Jesus. Clean this mess up. Yeah, it's the way it happens. All right, so Stacey, we are out of here. Another famous podcast.
Yes.
We have great podcasts. We do good podcasting.
I think we do.
Yeah.
And even if we don't, I don't care.
I'll say
that's the high point of my week.
I'll say this much. They're honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing obscured in these. Because the way we look at it, nobody's listening. This is just another one of our phone calls.
I have to tell you this real quick since you brought that up, since the whole honesty thing.
Yeah.
I told my psychic story a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
And the boyfriend emailed me the other day out of the blue.
Oh, my God.
And it's like a very, you know, several years have passed. It's just a catch up. It's nothing bad. You know, he's married, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say, and I would normally say, you should check it out. But now I'm like, damn it.
Yeah.
I've got to wait like 10 episodes till this one scrolls off before I tell him. So
I know. I find myself doing the same thing. It's like, yeah, you need to download it in a couple weeks.
We talked about about 4 weeks ago, so give it some time and then check out the podcast.
All the people that I've adored in the business that I've run over on this thing at some point.
But again, they're not listening.
No,
so it's okay.
To me, this is just therapy that doesn't cost me anything. I don't have any health insurance, so this is the cheapest way I can get shit off my chest.
Well, I'm glad that I helped you with that, Lex.
Thank you, Stacey. I appreciate it.
I love being your cheapness.
I know. I love you being my cheapness. So we'll be cheap next time. Is it number 60 next time? Is that right?
I believe so.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my golly gee.
Man, we're just a podcast mill now.
I know.
We've
it's like with puppies, but different.
Yeah, except nobody gets hurt on these. And you don't have to take them to the vet.
And there's 50% less feces.
Oh, before I leave, did I tell you how I got in trouble with my chick?
No.
There was a story here in Dallas. You know, she's like one of the biggest animal advocates there is. She's obnoxious about it. I love animals, and even I'm like at times going, you know, God, you're so over the edge with this shit. You know. But this guy goes to breakfast, and he took his dog with him, and he leaves the dog in the car, and he realizes that it's getting, you know, into the morning time where heat's going to be a factor, so he goes out to the car, after breakfast and gets in and goes to start the car, which is a Corvette. And it's him and his little dog, and he locks the doors and sticks the key in the ignition, and the car's dead. And he can't start it. He can't unlock the electric locks. He didn't know how to do the manual override to get out of the car. They think he didn't have the strength after heat exhaustion to kick the windows out, or even had the room, because it's a vet, to get leverage to kick him out. So. Right. He and the dog died in the car. He's knocking on windows, trying to get people to help him, and he and the dog died. And I said to Lisa, I said, can't believe the dog died since it was at the vet.
Nice.
I was so proud of myself.
You didn't get sex that night, did you?
I haven't gotten it since. And that was last Friday. And I was just like, I couldn't, you know, she's like, you did not. And I went, how often does this happen? That joke must be told.
Yes, what are the odds that it happened in a Corvette?
The dog died while at the vet.
The only other way that could have happened, but if it was a Chevette. Are there any other vet
right.
cars?
Yeah, I mean, that's the only et car out there, really. and she wasn't having it. And she, a couple of days later, she goes, I found out that the guy was a veteran. I said, you see, that's not funny. Because it's not. Yeah, veterans don't go to the vet. You know, just
Wait,
dogs
so
do.
The vet died in the vet waiting for the vet with the dog?
Yeah, just dogs go to the vet, so only that part's funny. I said, that man fought for our country. I'd feel horrible about that, but the dog was at the vet. She goes, oh my God, let it go.
Lex is like, nope, I am driving this joke into the ground.
I'm like, I'm going to make you understand that this kind of comedy does not happen for, you know, that this situation has to have a joke with it, because the dog was in the vet. See? And died. That's funny.
You had another joke a long time ago, but we can't tell it. Do you remember when Sonny Bono died? Your joke?
No.
It involved him and Woody Allen.
Yeah, I remember. I can't remember what the tie-in was, though.
It was, what do Woody Allen and Sonny Bono have in common?
It was after his skiing accident, right?
Well, yes, that's how he died.
Yeah.
And the punchline was, they both should have stayed off the slopes.
Right. Right. That was a good one.
Sorry, Lex, I'll have to edit that.
I'm so glad you said that, because Terry and I were trying to remember that joke. We melded it with the yellow box joke. Yeah. Which was what does Woody Allen's girlfriend and Kodak Film have in common?
Nice.
Or no, what does Woody Allen and Kodak Film have in common? They both come in a yellow box.
Well, since we're going there, can we bust out the pedophile jokes?
No, because these are all going to get edited out anyway.
So let's... Damn it. There are so few people I can tell those jokes to.
The Rick Tracy jokes?
Were they his?
What's the worst thing about fucking a five-year-old? That one?
Getting the blood out of the clown suit.
Wiping the blood off your clown suit?
How to make a little girl cry twice?
Wiping your bloody dick on her teddy bear?
Yes. So a pedophile and a seven-year-old boy are walking through the woods together alone. And the little boy, as they go deeper into the woods, the little boy says, "Gee, mister, I don't like it out here in these woods. They're really dark and cold and scary. And I don't like it out here at all." And the pedophile says, "How do you think I feel? I've got to walk out of here alone."
Yeah, you got to say it real like sociopath. "How do you think I feel? I got to walk out of here by myself." It's all in the delivery.
What do you get when you stab an infant with a steak knife?
An erection.
Yes!
Oh, God. Good times!
Yes! The best jokes ever.
Oh, God. I told those to Bill Murray playing golf with him. And he and his brother were rolling on the fairway.
I usually, before I tell them, have to say, "Do you have kids?" Yeah. And when they say yes, I go, "Okay, I'm not sharing these with you. I'm moving on, finding someone else who's single and maybe hasn't spawned."
I remember telling Brian Doyle Murray that joke. He's like standing over the ball getting ready to hit it. And I said, "Brian, what do you get when you stab an infant?" He goes, "I don't know. What the fuck?" I'm in an erection. He goes, "Oh, my God." I said, "Well, I guess we're friends for life."
Yes. Those jokes do tend to bond you with like-minded people.
Yeah. You know, later on that night at the party at the King and the Bear golf club, you know, of course, my wife came out for it, and he's like, "What a charming woman." I mean, "You can have her." She goes, "You better be careful. He's going to sweep me off my feet." And I said, "Why do you think I brought you here?" All right. So enough foolishness, Stacy. But good memory on the Sonny Bono joke. Very happy about that.
I'm glad I could help you with that one.
Yeah, I can't wait to call Terry up and go, "Stacy just told me what the Sonny Bono joke was." So there you have it. That wraps up our Threesome Podcast 59. We'll see you next time. Bye, Stace.
Bye, Lex.
I'm going to play with it because I'm going to try and find a tone I can put in on some of them.
And I'm going to add to the description
Just say, "And a terrible, awful joke," because I'm probably just going to use the Sonny Bono one. Okay. Yeah, if we get favorable response, we'll do a podcast where we do the others. I don't know, maybe
it was one more pedophile joke.
Yeah, there were think there was five. There was five jokes, and we told four of them.
What is the fifth one? Do you remember?
I don't. There was clown suit, bloody teddy bear, erection, and guy and kid going into the woods. Maybe it's just four. Scott would know.
Because I think he actually made up the stabbing in from the station.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I think that he was rolling out of his home.
How about this one? What do you call an alligator in a vest?
What?
Suck my cock and I'll tell you. Oh, that's the one. That's
red all over or something. And it's the cheerleader I have in my trunk.
No, there is a black and blue one. That's the fifth one.
Was it something like that?
Yeah, it's like, what's...
a 7-year-old in my trunk.
No, it's like, what's black... Call Terry.